get my books and everything in, and I start reading, you know, studying a little bit, and I'm going, wonder if he wants me to talk about this whole thing, because there's a lot in this. And I thought, okay, when I get the bulletin, I'll see.
We will at least read the entire thing, and then we'll have probably a little discussion here and there about it. Okay? At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Jan was telling us about this. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. Now, right here, I'm a wheat farmer, right? I watch the wheat farmer. We go out into the field. You think the wheat's about ready, honey? I don't know. We're in the Gator, driving along. Grab some wheat heads. Take them like this. Go punch, punch, punch. Blow the chaff away, and then pop those little wheat berries in your mouth and see if they're chewy or see if they're hard. That's how you tell it's time to cut wheat. How about that? Aren't you proud of me? That's all there is to it, isn't it, honey? No, okay. Anyway, so Jesus' people, they're walking through the grain field and they're hungry. Why not? Why not eat the grain? Except it's Sunday. It's the Sabbath. Uh-huh. Not supposed to. That's work. That's work. We get here.
It's Saturday.
When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath, but are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He left that place then and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath? So they might accuse him. Oh, they thought they were being so sneaky. And he said to them, suppose one of you has only one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human life than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man who was standing there with the bad hand, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and it was restored as sound as the other one. But the Pharisees went out. They weren't happy for this man. They were just, nah. The Pharisees went out and they conspired against him how to destroy him. When Jesus became aware of this, he departed. Many of the crowds followed him and he cured all of them. And he ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah says, here is my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not wrangle or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Wow. Sit and study that for a while. What section will you focus in upon? There's so much in this. So much. And so every time I read the scripture, I go, okay, Lord, what are you going to show me this time? What are you going to tell me this time? What are you going to focus on for me? Are you that way? When you take time to sit down in a quiet place and read the scripture, is your heart open to receive the message that your God and your Christ will put upon your heart? Maybe it will cause you to ask questions. Ask questions. I'm reading through this and I've read it before and I'm not young. I've read so many things. But don't tell other people. Don't tell other people what I've done. Don't. Why? I was asked. Well, what did God have in his mind? He told Isaiah to tell everybody 750 years ahead of this scripture when this happened. Isaiah was prophesying and saying these words to the people that would listen. Don't tell anyone what I'm doing. It's not for us to ask why. It's to understand, okay, it's your plan, God. It's your plan. Just follow the plan, servants, people of God. Follow the plan. At the top of my Bible that I use, at the top of a section right before verse 15, there's a title, and it's called God's Chosen Servant. So when I've used the word servant two or three times this morning already. Servant. How do you serve your God? Directly, indirectly, here, there, a little God here. How do you serve your God? Amy brought up that the Missouri Valley Human Resources, that the little chapel box that they have, the food box, needs some help and needs some donations. Are you the servant that will drive by and pop something into that little box or someone else? We have one out here, just up the street from that one. The church has one. Wednesday night dinner people decided we needed something to do, something physical to do for God. We like dinner church on Wednesday nights. We like our fellowship. We wanted something to do physically to help someone. We wanted to be the servant. So we said, let's make a food box like they did. Okay, let's make a food box. It looks like a little church. We call it a chapel, a food chapel. We put food into it ever so often. Different ones take turns. And then we have these conversations about, I wonder who took that. I wonder who needed that. I wonder why they don't like canned vegetables. Canned vegetables do not go over well for some reason in a food box. I wasn't raised that way, but
No. Did you put a microwavable little box of macaroni and cheese in there? Mm-hmm. Was that gone? Mm-hmm. People like their microwaves, that kind of thing. There's a lot to the ministry in that food box. It allows us to be church. It allows us to be servants, to follow in Christ's footsteps. I had an occasion to do a survey. You know how surveys show up in your mailbox, or somebody will hand you one, or whatever, okay? One of the questions on the survey was, how do we as a church serve the wider community? Or something like, we serve the wider community really well. We, the Christian church, serve the wider community really well. Now, if you think that's right on target, and I say the number 5, you're going to raise your hand. Then you go to 4. Then you go to 3, 2, 1. Let's try it. Let's just see how you think the church serves the community. We as a church serve the wider community well. Highly agree, 5. Not quite so high, 4. Average, 3. A little below average, 2. A lot below average, 1. Okay, so we are, as a congregation, a little below average to less than perfect. Not bad. That's not bad. But you know what? It leaves room for us as a church to serve community well, maybe in a different manner. I don't know. We do really well. We have dinners. We have Christmas presents. We give monies to the school. I think maybe there are things going on within the church that you don't know about. Maybe we just need to toot our horn a little bit more and share with each other, hey, this is what's being done. It's great. It's wonderful. It's allowing us to be a servant. Jesus Christ is the servant whom I have chosen. God's Son, the servant. We represent that servant. Can't we serve well? Can't we serve better in some way, shape, or form? I can go on and on and on. But my mind and my heart settled on the word servant. I wanted to make you aware. I want to encourage you to think things through. And I want you to be creative. Come up with something new, something different. But allow this church to be the impact that it could be, along with our other churches within the community. Ministerial Alliance, that's something some of you don't realize maybe. Some of the churches working together within the community through the Alliance, if there's need, you wouldn't believe some of the need that's met. Now, when we come together as a group, we'll hear about it at the meeting. But it's set up. People donate money. It's kept in a savings. And then when it's needed to help someone out, it's used. It's a quiet, beautiful little ripple of love within the community that we often don't think about. The Ministerial Alliance. You're a part of it, whether you know it or not. I believe the doors of the church are open
to accommodate each and every person within this community, church after church after church. They don't all have to come here, but they need to go somewhere. Because just like our little dinner church group on Wonder Wednesday, I told Vern, I said, see, we don't do it in the summer. And I leaned over to her the other day and I said, hey Vern, I kind of miss our group. She said, I miss it a lot. I miss it a lot. We need groups. We need people. We need each other. We need to be the servants in some way, shape, or form that we can honor the Son of God and His mission on earth on our behalf. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are in awe that you sent your Son, your Holy Son, to this earth, this place you created, who has given you many joys and many struggles. But you sent him to us. The message has been given to us through the generations that he was here. We read the scriptures to remain holy within the confines of this book called the Bible that allows us to see and hear and imagine and visualize and share, oh God, such beautiful words of love and joy, all having to do with this Prince of Peace that we call Jesus the Christ. Allow Jesus into our hearts, oh God. Now, open them up wide and full that we can be the best we can be, that others might share what we know, that we might share with them. In his name we pray. Amen. We now have our time for our hymn of invitation.